that ought to cause you to well up with some emotion of empathy when you see the judgment of God coming upon these people. Aren't you glad that you're not in that day and dispensation? Aren't you glad that you're covered in the blood of Christ, which we celebrated this morning? Aren't you glad that we're secure in his grace, in his mercy, his chesed, his loving kindness? Aren't you glad? But you know what? We still face obstacles. We still face challenging circumstances. And God wants us to trust him with those things. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did we receive him? We received him by faith. The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let me ask you a question today. What are your obstacles? What is it that God wants you to tackle? What is it that he wants you to possess? What does he want you to accomplish for him? Unbelief undermines your full confidence in him and forfeits the opportunities he's provided for your benefit and blessing. This is all about his glory, but it's all about your personal growth, benefit, and blessing. That's why the psalmist said what he said in Psalm 103. So let's keep seizing the moments God provides for us with childlike faith. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. And with God's help, I'm going to do it. Instead of living in the safe place, not the good place, not the series, the safe place, let's live in the faith place. So here's the question. How do we live in the faith place? So easy to kind of dip in and out of that doorway and that place. Well, this question brings us back to Caleb and Joshua, because their opinion was in the minority among the spies. Remember, Caleb pleaded with the people in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. He said, let us go up immediately and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it, right? If you were to meet Caleb, he'd have what they call a yes face, right? You know, there's people who have no faces. And I mean, it's not that they don't have a face. They have a face, but their face says no in a big capital letter. But there's some people that have faces that just say a bright, brilliant yes face. And I can think of some of you that just shine, and you know who they are. There's people in our congregation that have yes faces. Yes faces. When you look at them, their smile, their energy, their warmth, it just says yes all over their face, and may their tribe increase. So many of you have that yes face. Well, Caleb had a yes face. But imagine Caleb's frustration when the whole nation disregarded his counsel. Ever been there in a position of leadership when you're giving good counsel and it's questioned over and over again, and you're bombarded with all kinds of arguments, and you're trying to stay true to what you know is right? It's a tough place to be for a leader. Well, it's tough for Caleb. God saw the unfaithfulness in the hearts of his people, and one by one, the older generation passed away without seeing the fulfillment of God's promises. Even Moses, in his old age, ascended into the mountain and died without entering the promised land. That to me is a tragedy, because Moses had to put up with so much. And in so many ways, he'd showed so much faithfulness. But he fell short when it counted, and he suffered the consequences. Even he didn't get to see the fulfillment of God's promise. Joshua and Caleb were the sole survivors of their generation. And when the day came to lead Israel into the promised land, they were as young in spirit as they were 40 years before. And notice I say young in spirit. I mean, Caleb's like 85 and Joshua's got to be in the same age group. You know, and I'm 67 and I feel aches and pains in places I didn't even know I had places. And as the body gets older, we start to lose out that vital energy and that vitality. Well, they had, as we say, a youthful spirit. Joshua succeeded Moses, and he led the Israelites across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. Now, that's vigor. That's vitality. And as you read through the book of Joshua, you find conquest after conquest, victory after victory, and blessing after blessing. Then in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, who should we meet again? My favorite guy, Caleb. He made a journey to reconnect with his old friend and fellow spy, comrade in arms, Joshua. And this is what Caleb said to Joshua. This is cool. He says, remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God, so that that day Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Wow. With the passing of years, Caleb's faith had grown. His mind was sharp and his spirit was strong. His enthusiasm was undiminished, and the promise of God was still the obsession of his heart. I believe there's four reasons for this. Four reasons that contributed to this stalwart attitude. And there's four things that will equip us to live outside of that safe place. Our comfort zone. Four things that will equip us to do that. And let me detail them from Caleb's life. Number one, people of faith stay exuberant because they possess spirit-filled vitality. Let me say that again. People of faith stay exuberant because they possess spirit-filled vitality. Now, on a personal note, after 30 years of ministry, it's not the years, it's the mileage that takes the toll on my energy. It's the mileage. There's a lot of high miles and a lot of hard driving and lots of challenges, lots of mountains to climb, lots of difficult situations, painful circumstances, and conflictual conflictual things that zap one's strength. And those things can tap you. And I know that for each of us, we have had our own journey. And it's not the years, but it's the mileage, the things that we've gone through that zap our energy, our vitality. And we get to a season in life, and I found myself at points like this where it's a deep inner tiredness, where you feel like I can't even put one foot in front of the other. And I think sometimes they call that burnout, but that burnout can be cumulative over the course of years. There's nothing that I would rather do than pastor and minister and share God's word. It's the most wonderful, the most incredible privilege, and I thank God for it. And for the people that I serve, there's nothing better. At the same time, how do I regain the vital energy that's necessary to continue to serve God and to meet the needs of God's people? Well, in Caleb's life, he was exuberant because he possessed a spirit-filled vitality. We need to get recharged, don't we? Because we can't keep giving out all the time. and expect to continue to function. We need that spirit-filled vitality. So in Joshua 14, 10 through 11, Caleb told Joshua, "The Lord has kept me alive these 45 years ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me." And I don't think he was talking about his physical strength. I think he was more likely referring to his spiritual vitality, his passion. 85-year-old, and he's saying, "I still have the same passion and exuberance I had when I was 40 years old, just like the day when Moses first sent me to spy out the land." Well, the same enthusiasm and exuberance is available to you, because the God who energized Caleb is the same God who placed the mighty power, the indwelling Holy Spirit, in you through faith in his precious Son. You have the Spirit. His Spirit gives us joy, and his promises fill us with hope. It's not a matter of conjuring up emotions, but rather saying, "Lord, with your help, I'm going to be like Caleb, not like the other 10 who came back with a bad report." Well, the second thing I want to say is this, is that people of faith stay excited about their futures, right? We know that God has a glorious future. Listen to Joshua 14, verse 12. Caleb told Joshua, "So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said." Here's what's happening. Caleb is asking the commander-in-chief, his friend Joshua, for the toughest assignment in the settling of the promised land. At age 85, Caleb was ready to conquer the enemy, take the promised land, and establish a heritage for the people of Israel. Listen, no matter what your age or what hill you have to climb, God can give you the spiritual vision of a brighter tomorrow and leaving a legacy for those who follow in your steps. The land was yet to be claimed. Caleb was God's man. Spiritual vitality, excitement about a brighter future are what carry you forward. Now, Caleb didn't use his gray hair as an excuse to sit on the sideline and avoid the heavy lifting of the task ahead. You know, many times I talk about, well, retirement. Maybe it's time to retire. But I wonder, do pastors ever retire? Well, they might have a very loving and wise leadership that might gently say, "You know what? It's time." That may happen. But there was no quitting Caleb. He asked for a worthy challenge because he had the wisdom to know with a glorious mission comes a glorious reward. In other words, you knock down a giant, you become a giant. He still had a vision for the future. And because of that, he accomplished the greatest victory of his life when he was 85 years old. Doesn't that give you reason to hope? God still has a purpose for your life. So people of faith stay exuberant because they possess spirit-filled vitality and they're excited about the promise of a glorious future. Of all people, we should be excited about that. Well, and thirdly, people of faith stay enthusiastic about their mission. Well, here's Caleb. And the task was unfinished, but Joshua in chapter 15, verse 14, says, "Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, Talmai, all children of Anak." He did the job. Caleb accomplished the mission. And now we need to understand, how did he do it? It was his exuberance, which came from God, that gave him strength. His excitement came from a God-inspired vision of a brighter future. His enthusiasm came from a great commitment to a great commission. We have that great commission, don't we? Matthew 28, verse 19. Did you know, when we post these Sunday sermons on the internet or we broadcast live on Zoom, we have people like today listening from Scotland, others in England, still others listen occasionally from Nepal and around the globe. Now, much of the credit for the technological capabilities that enable us to do this each week is because of the scientific discoveries of Sir Edward Appleton. Ever heard of him? He was a technician. And for his achievements, he was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize in 1947. And when he was asked about the secrets of his lasting accomplishments, here's what he said. It was enthusiasm. I rate enthusiasm even above professional skill. Isn't that amazing? Enthusiasm. It's amazing what you can accomplish with a little bit of enthusiasm. A yes face. The word enthusiasm are two Greek words in combination. It's in and God, or in the Greek, en theos. And it was a word that was coined to describe the zeal of the early Christians. How appropriate. Did you know that enthusiasm was originally coined because of early Christians and their zeal? Wow. People of faith are exuberant because of God-given strength. They're excited about a glorious future, and they stay enthusiastic about their mission. And then fourthly, people of faith stay energized in their relationship with God, right? That's where it all comes from. Got to have this dynamic flow, the vertical in your relationship with God. Only the energy of God can keep us forging ahead when times are difficult. It's the energy of God that causes us to move forward into the remainder of God's will for our lives. The story of Caleb's life is told in no more than 30 verses in the Bible. 30 verses sum up this great man of faith. He was a warrior, a man of courage, a bold servant of the Most High. But six times in those 30 verses, we're given the secret to his courageous, faith-filled, overcoming life. Six verses tell us the secret. And let me state as emphatically as I can, when you discover Caleb's secret, you will find the secret for your life. Six verses describe why Caleb was so dynamic. And here they are. Let me read them to you. Here's the secret. It's in these six verses. And I'm going to close with this. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. Listen, he has wholeheartedly followed me. And then over in Numbers, chapter 32, verse 12. It says, the only exceptions are Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they have wholeheartedly followed the Lord. And then over in Deuteronomy 1, verse 36, only Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see this land because he has followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And then over in Joshua 14, verse 36, only Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see this land because he has followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And then the last one found in Joshua chapter 14, verse 14. It says, Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord. See, the key phrase is Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. By the time Caleb was 85, most of his generation had given up hope, and they died in the wilderness. But Caleb still had a passion in his heart and an earnest desire to follow God in the greatest mission of his life. To what task or mission is God calling you? Let me remind you, you may feel like you're dangling from a frayed rope in a tall tree, and it's a long distance to the ground, but God's people are called to embrace the future and step out of that comfort zone into the faith place. You'll need spirit-filled vitality, excitement for the future, enthusiasm for the mission, and an energized relationship with God. His will for you is not earthly comfort, but divine courage. Courage in the face of opposition. Courage, especially now, in the face of cultural change. Courage in the midst of a pandemic. And courage when confronted with the unknown. This is our time to step out on the ropes, undaunted by the dizzying heights, and accomplish the mission that God has ordained. It's all about his son. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the message of salvation. Where to begin? Pray. Begin praying. Then step out into the rarefied air of these two patriarchs, Caleb and Joshua. And let's remember Jesus as the ultimate example of courage. He knew where he is headed from the time of his birth till he drew his last breath. Now that's courage, and that's our example. Please pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that we're able to celebrate communion today. Thank you for the promise of Psalm 103 that says, bless the name of the Lord and all that's within me, bless his holy name and forget none of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Father, that's a psalmist who's been through his trials and he's had his cathartic moments, but he's come to that glorious place of saying, no matter what circumstances, no matter what trials come my way, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to step out in faith. And I'm going to be characterized by an attitude of gratitude for all that you have done for me. Father, would you give us that faith? Would you give us that courage, the courage of Caleb and Joshua? And when the temptations come or the trials come and we're tempted to walk by sight rather than faith, teach us again to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not in our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you. And have confidence that you will direct our paths. I pray for each one today. Give them saving faith. Give them rejoicing faith. Give them a faith that prompts them to live wholeheartedly for the Lord. That's the secret. Begin in us today, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.